Alfred Lord Tennyson, 1809-1892. Life. Alfred Tennyson was born in Lincolnshire, in 1809. He was the son of a parson, and was first educated at his father's rectory, and then at Trinity College in Cambridge, where he met the young poet Arthur Hallam, who was to become his close friend, and inspire much of his poetry. He left Cambridge without taking a degree, but before doing so he published his first important collection of verse, poems, chiefly lyrical, in 1830. He travelled to the continent with his friend, but in 1833 Hallam died in Vienna, and Tennyson spent many years meditating on this tragic loss, from which he only gradually recovered. In 1850 he published his long autobiographical work, In Memoriam A.H.H., voicing his regret for Hallam's death, and in the same year, on the death of Wordsworth, he became poet laureate, and was regarded as the greatest poet of his day. He enjoyed considerable financial success. In 1884 he was knighted for his literary merits, and is therefore referred to by his title as Lord Tennyson. He died in 1892, and was buried in Westminster Abbey. Works. Lord Tennyson's first remarkable works were dramatic monologues included in Poems in Two Volumes, 1842, consisting of a revised selection of previous volumes, and of other new poems, Morte Arthur and Ulysses. The former is a retelling of King Arthur's story, and its theme is how noble civilization can decay morally. Many see this work as a veiled commentary on the England of his day, a country deeply involved in the Industrial Revolution, and emerging as the leading colonial world power of the time. Ulysses is a personal version of the legend of Ulysses, and it has come in part from Dante, who supplies the story, not to be found in Homer, of the last adventure of the Greek hero. In 1847 Tennyson wrote a narrative poem, The Princess, appreciated by the public for its support of women's right to education. In Memoriam, 1850, is one of the finest elegies in English literature. Composed at intervals over long years, it consists of several sections of varying number of stanzas about death and life, and the element of unity is the grief of the poet for his friend's death, that is the regret for what is no more. Victorian values. Tennyson expressed the national pride and the love for order of the Victorians, the conventional sentimentality of the middle class, and the optimistic belief in the progress of mankind. However, like so many men of his time, he worried and doubted about God, nature, man, the meaning of life, and science. The central themes of his best poems, reflecting his melancholic spirit, are death, decay, sadness at the brevity of human existence, and religious doubt. As Darwin's theory of evolution had undermined the belief in a benevolent God, and in the truth of the Bible, Tennyson, as a true Victorian, looked for a compromise between science and religion, and considered faith the result of a battle, always susceptible to doubts, and not a permanent possession. His idea of nature was that of a scientist, and, unlike Wordsworth, he never invested it with mysticism. What worried Tennyson was the picture of a nature indifferent to human sufferings and the absence of a special immortal destiny for man. Ulysses, 1833. Sources. The main sources of the monologue are Homer's Odyssey, 11th, 100-137, and Dante's Inferno, 26th, 90-142. In the former, Odysseus is told by Tiresias, the blind fortune-teller, that, when he has dealt with the suitors at Ithaca, he must set off again with an oar, and that a gentle death will come to him from the sea, when the people round him are prosperous, and he is worn out with a comfortable old age. This phrase suggested to Tennyson the picture of man used to danger and excitement, who finds a quiet life extremely boring. Dante puts Ulysses in hell for the sin of fraud, because of his deceit with the Trojan horse, and from there he relates the story of his death at sea on the last voyage, undertaken because his passion for exploration overcame his attachment to his family. He recalls how he urged his few faithful companions not to refuse experience of the uninhabited world behind the sun, but to employ the brief possession of their faculties, as a human being should, in following manly virtue and knowledge. Tennyson combines Homer's and Ant's accounts by having Ulysses make his speech shortly after returning to Ithaca and resuming his administrative responsibilities, and shortly before embarking on his final voyage. This poem is written as a dramatic monologue. The entire poem is spoken by a single character, whose identity is revealed by his own words. The lines are in blank verse, or unrhymed iambic pentameter, which serves to impart a fluid and natural quality to Ulysses's speech. Many of the lines are enjambed, which means that a thought does not end with the line break. The sentences often end in the middle, rather than the end, of the lines. The use of enjambment is appropriate in a poem about pushing forward beyond the utmost bound of human thought. Finally, the poem is divided into four paragraph-like sections, each of which comprises a distinct thematic unit of the poem. Themes: in combining two sources, Tennyson sides with Homer, who thinks Odysseus admirable, rather than with Dant, who thinks him wicked, but he takes from Dant the concept of forever seeking new experience. The 19th century faith in science and progress had, in fact, cancelled the medieval fear of going beyond human limits, and had underlined the right and duty to exploit ally the potentialities of human intelligence. Thus, Tennyson's Ulysses becomes the expression of the Victorian man of action. However, this poem also concerns the poet's own personal journey, for it was composed in the first few weeks after Tennyson learned of the death of his dear college friend Arthur Henry Hallam in 1833. Like In Memoriam, then, this poem is also an elegy for a deeply cherished friend. Ulysses, who symbolizes a grieving poet, proclaims his resolution to push onward in spite of the awareness that death closes all. Line 51. As Tennyson himself stated, the poem expresses his own need of going forward and braving the struggle of life after the loss of his beloved Hallam. The poem's final line, "to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield," came to serve as a motto for the poet's Victorian contemporaries. The poem's hero longs to flee the tedium of daily life among these barren crags, line 2, and to enter a mythical dimension beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars, lines 60-61. As such, he was a model of individual self-assertion and the romantic rebellion against bourgeois conformity. Thus, for Tennyson's immediate audience, the figure of Ulysses held not only mythological meaning, but stood as an important contemporary cultural icon as well. As in all dramatic monologues, here the character of the speaker emerges almost unintentionally from his own words. Ulysses' incompetence as a ruler is evidenced by his preference for potential quests, rather than his present responsibilities. He devotes a full 26 lines to his own egotistical proclamation of his zeal for the wandering life, and another 26 lines to the exhortation of his mariners to roam the seas with him. However, he offers only 11 lines of lukewarm praise to his son concerning the governance of the kingdom in his absence, and a mere 2 words about his aged wife Penelope. Thus, the speaker's own words betray his abdication of responsibility and his specificity of purpose.